The TNT Shop has great gift ideas for your furry family member at TNTRadio.live. This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I am George Eliason, and this is the radio broadcast from TNT breaking the news of the War of the Worlds. In front of the microphone, you won't be hearing armchair generals and think tankers paid to run propaganda for NATO and the Biden administration. Our microphone is fitted with a special filter to keep the propaganda and false expertise out. This is not the hour for repeating what you already heard or rehashing what you already know. This isn't the crosstalk of reporters pushing their bylines in exchange for your money. This isn't the BBC's hard talk with its soft-scented confectionery manufactured at the Foreign Office and MI6. They are the alien invaders. This is the hour when you'll be able to hear the news breaking from the news fronts throughout Europe and from your ears to your brains. Not the alien invaders, but the fresh, original human analysis of what the breaking news means. So sit tight. Here goes. Today we've got Tony Lyons, who is the co-chair and co-founder of American Values 2024. Lyons is the publisher of Skyhorse Books, and he's published recent works by Woody Allen, Blake Bailey, Norman Mailer, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. His book, The Real Anthony Fauci. His publishing company is, he's actually called a U.S. publisher who picks up canceled books by other presses, which is something we can get into. Now, we're going to get into RFK Jr. in a minute. Tony, hello and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Can you tell us a little bit about AmericanValues2024.org?
Yes, so AmericanValues2024.org is a super PAC that was formed to support Robert F. Kennedy Jr. in his bid for election in 2024.
And I've been hearing a lot of things about the funding on this. It's just, from what I hear, it's just been amazing. July was supposedly out of the world. And what was it you picked up? Was it $9 million in July alone? Am I right with the numbers, or?
Yeah, so the total that we've raised so far, I believe, is about $16.5 million.
And that's $16.5 million. Wow.
Yes, so that's come from both Democrats and Republicans, and it sort of shows how Bobby Kennedy is, you know, able to heal the divide in this country and really speaks to people on all sides who recognize that the country is really in trouble and who want to kind of see a leader who's going to focus on the things that are important to them. And I think that what they recognize is that on both the right and the left in the past and, you know, currently, that, you know, U.S. politicians have been really focused on protecting big corporations and their profits, and that the country has just become corrupt. And so I think that people really want to have a politician who will fight for them and who will focus on things that are important to them, like, you know, jobs, inflation, peace, freedom. And they're not seeing that. They're seeing their freedom taken from them, and they're seeing censorship used by, you know, government agencies against them to protect these big corporations who are funding governments on every side. So there was a recent New York Times story that said that as much as 75% of the FDA's budget comes from the companies that it's supposed to be regulating. And that's true of so many, you know, government agencies now, that they're actually funded by private corporations. And private corporations don't do that, you know, because they're trying to help the government or because they care about the people of the United States. they do it because they believe that it increases their profits. And I think that that's true. And that when you have a system of government where the corporations are so intertwined that they're kind of merged with the government agencies, so that they're people from those companies that are embedded in the government. And then they're, you know, and that's just one side of it. Then you've got the other side, which is just incredible lobbying. So every, you know, congressperson is just so heavily lobbied and need the money so badly to be viable in their, you know, political races, that it's just hard to see that there's any room left for protection of the American people, for their health, for their welfare, for their ability to, you know, cover their own basic needs. And we're at a time when, you know, something over 50% of the people in the United States don't have $1,000, you know, to handle some emergency. I mean, they don't have $1,000 in the bank. And you think about that. I mean, we're, you know, this is the richest country on earth. And, you know, more than 100 million people don't have $1,000. So it's just unconscionable. And it just shows that we haven't had leaders that care about the middle class. So I think that, you know, what they want and what they need is a politician like Bobby Kennedy, who doesn't have any conflict of interest, who's going to go to Washington to try to solve their problems and not to do anything else, not to, you know, back up corporate partners, you know, not to make more money for himself, you know, not for any reason other than to solve problems.
Now, what you just described in terms of government, you know, the intertwining of business and government, it actually has a name, and it's actually scary because it's fascism.
Exactly. You know, and so to have a country with so many, you know, where so many people are proud of their freedom, and where they look at other countries and they say, oh, that's a fascist country, that's a socialist country, that's a communist country. But it's hard for them to see that it's happening to them. And it's been so gradual and so subtle that if you're not an actual direct victim of, say, you know, censorship or, you know, even things like debanking, which are becoming a real issue, in that if you disagree with a government agency, or if you have political views that a big corporation doesn't like, you know, they can chip away at your rights. They can make it difficult for you to have a bank account, have a credit card, get a loan, you know, even if you qualify in every other way other than your political views. So that's a really scary thing, that we could be heading towards this really scary fascism with all the modern technology tools. I mean, these tools would be the envy of any dictator in history. I mean, the ability to just cut people off, the ability to track people, the ability to censor people on, you know, every major means of communication, all the big tech platforms. You know, these kinds of tools were never available in the past. And the ability to use bots and AI to, you know, track people, to censor certain combinations of words so that you can really control what most people believe is true. You know, even really smart people, it's just, it becomes so difficult now to get the truth on a whole raft of subject matter that you really have to fight to get the truth, that you have to go and listen to alternative sites and podcasts. And, you know, while that's possible, it's a lot of work. But the amazing thing is that millions and millions of Americans are actually doing just that. So you see some of these shows where the mainstream TV show has, you know, even the very biggest ones have 2 or 3 million viewers. But then you have a podcast like Joe Rogan that might get, you know, 13 million, 14 million viewers. So there is some pushback. And I think that that's a lot of the reason why Bobby Kennedy has a chance and why people are starting to recognize that he's the politician who's really going to get things done. And that it's so important that you look at politicians and look for their conflicts of interest and look at what they've done in the past, not what they say, not what they promise they're going to do. I mean, Donald Trump talks about draining the swamp, but he went to Washington and he didn't drain the swamp. You know, he talked about making the intelligence agencies smaller, but he didn't actually do that. He talked about gutting the deep state and the government agencies and trying to make them, you know, really work for the people of this country, but he didn't do that. And there's no question that if Bobby Kennedy goes to Washington, you know, that if he becomes president, he will do that. He will make sure that the government agencies work for the people of the United States and not for big corporations.
Why did Bobby Kennedy wait so long to run for office? He must have seen all of this developing.
Yeah, so he wasn't waiting. I mean, he's been involved in hundreds of lawsuits where he's been trying to hold government agencies and big corporations feet to the fire and make them pay. So he's been involved in some gigantic lawsuits. You know, he was one of the lawyers. He was on the, you know, team that sued Monsanto for glyphosate, right? Roundup that was, you know, that has been and is causing cancer. And he won a $70 million judgment that resulted in, you know, very large numbers of people coming forward and suing for the harm that glyphosate in Roundup, has caused. And there's so many other stories of that where people are getting hurt by products that have not been well researched, that have been green-lighted by corrupt agencies. And he's been fighting those battles for the American people. And so the question is, you know, what's the best way to use your talent and to use your, you know, your skills? And so he believed for the last few decades that the best way that he could do that was through the courts. But he's seen now that that's not enough. You know, that there are people doing that. He was one of the main people, and there are lots of others, and they're winning these big judgments, these big settlements. But in the end, you know, things are not going in the right direction. And that you can see that by looking at all different sides of the country. You can see, you know, that our foreign policy is still geared towards being in these wars, these endless wars all around the world that drain hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars out of the economy in the United States. And that all of these different policies are not geared to helping the people of this country. And so I think that what happened was Bobby Kennedy realized that the only way he was going to really make change that would benefit America, that would change the course of history, is to become president. And I think that he's right there, that there's only so much that can be done through the courts, but that's been great experience, you know, that he knows more about the inner workings of government agencies than anybody because he's been suing them. He knows the thinking of the big American corporate structure because he's been suing them for decades. So I think he has all the tools that he needs to go to Washington and really change around how this country works.
Okay, Tony, we're going to need to take a quick break. For a complete list of shows and our schedule offered on TNT Radio, simply visit our website at tntradio.live. We serve up the latest live news and current affairs presented by a host of credible and expert commentators who can separate fact from fiction, truth from propaganda, right here on TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Patrick Henningsen.
I get the feeling that a lot of people, especially in the political class, are on autopilot on this. Why? Because it doesn't affect them directly. The only thing that they really have in terms of interests is profits for the arms and defense industry. I guess that's on the table. How about military budgets for the following year? Need to raise those. How about national chauvinism? Yes, the collective ego. That is the national government mindset, the ministerial mindset, the heads of departments beating their chest, pretending that they're still in the 1900s, and they're not. We're in the 21st century. Things are very different, and we can reminisce and whip out the Harry Flashman novels, as alluring as they may be, but those times have passed. Russia is not a backwater. In fact, they're learning this the hard way. We got to change this conversation. This is going to be devastating for Europe if it continues to go any longer. It really is.
Patrick Henningsen on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Good night, mirror. Good night, window. Good night, door. Good night, seat. Good night, seatbelt.
For thousands of women and children in Australia, their car is their home. Help make a real difference to their lives. Donate to the Vinnies Winter Appeal at vinnies.org.au or call 13 18 12.
Good night, Mummy.
When you can point me to an industry, to a platform that reaches 250 million people a month, virtually 9 out of 10 Americans, that's real, that's substantive, that's important. And that reach and that touch point and that daily reinforcement, it's an amazing place to be able to communicate messages. That's massive.
To find out more, go to tntradio.live. You're listening to War of the Worlds with George Eliason on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Tony Lyons, he's the co-chair and co-founder of American Values 2024 and the publisher of Sky Horse Books. I want to step back a little bit, and I want to talk about this censorship. It definitely rolls into what you said earlier about Trump not having the ability to fix this. And it shows how deep RFK is going to have to go to get this done. Now, he's spoken a lot about against the censorship that's going on, and he's been a real advocate of free speech. All of this started with the Obama administration pushing the 2012 Smith-Mundt Act revision. And that is what actually took away the civil protections away from Americans, and it made it legal for the government to wage information war. Governments, contractors, and lobbyists. And this all built up to Russiagate, to the COVID lockdowns, the information war with that, to everything going on today and what's happening with Robert Kennedy. I think the first political use was against Bernie Sanders, and it's all the same people doing it. Now, where this is being run out of is an office in the State Department. Today it's called the USAGM. Up until December 2016, it was called the, it was called the Board of Broadcasting Governors. They run RFERL, et cetera. And what happened is the guy that rewrote that revision to the Smith-Mundt Act, he was the only permanent member on that board, and he was the government official working with private contractors that set all this up. If Robert Kennedy reviewed that, And what I'm saying is a lot. And I realize, okay, you know, this may be new. So I'm not asking you to put words in his mouth. But if stopping this dead in its tracks and making all of this illegal again, all it took was revising that one act to its pre-2012 incarnation. Could he get a Congress to do that today?
So I think it's going to be tough. But I think that, you know, one of the hallmarks of fascism is the ability to, you know, sort of have a monopoly on truth and to control the message and to use propaganda and censorship to control people. And there's no question that that's going on. And there's no question that, you know, Bobby really has his finger on the pulse of what's going on with censorship and propaganda in all areas. So I think that he would do more than anybody else to, you know, understand how it works and make sure that it stops. So I think that's the main thing, that he would become president and he would immediately, and he said this many times, he would immediately shut these programs down. Because these programs are illegal, they're unconstitutional, and, you know, they, in any case, in any way you view them, are against the basic value of what it is to be an
American. The problem with this particular one, when it was the BBG, because it's a State Department, it was under the president's control. It was the president's domain. It's diplomacy. In December 2016, when they revamped it into the USAGM, they took it out of the president's control and put it into Congress's control. It's outside his wheelhouse. That's the fight he has to deal with. Do you think he could manage enough cooperation from a Congress that actually, they're not even looking to govern anymore, a lot of these people. And we're talking about Republicans and Democrats. They're looking to rule. And it's exactly what you've been describing. And they've made this fight this difficult. I'm not asking for definite answers because, you know, this is something that needs to be looked at. And that's how I approach the question. But do you, if this was what it took, and if you don't get this done, you don't fix the problem. And it's a mountain to get it done. You know, what I just described. Would he make that fight? Because that would probably take his entire administration to clear this up.
Yeah, I mean, I view it differently. You know, when you talk about, you know, all the same people working to take down Bernie Sanders, and those being the same people who are working so hard to take down Bobby Kennedy, I think that you have to recognize that, you know, Bobby Kennedy isn't Bernie Sanders. He's been standing up to the most and most corrupt people on the planet, you know, for decades. And I think that he goes to Washington and he convinces people that these changes have to be made. And he speaks directly to the American people, whether it's some kind of, you know, daily fireside chat where he's just alerting the American public to the way things are working or the way things aren't working, but the way that they're being screwed by their government. And I think that when large numbers of people understand that, he will then be able to develop the political power to get things done, that they will be, you know, lots of Congress people who recognize that their political careers are going to be over if they don't start to work with Bobby Kennedy, to work with the president, to change some of these things, that these are things that are done quietly, they're done in secret, and they're done without the knowledge of the American public, that most people believe that they have much more freedom than they have. Most people believe that their government is doing more for them than they actually are. Most people would be shocked by the degree to which the government is just working for a handful of gigantic corporations at the expense of the American people. And when Bobby Kennedy tells people as president day after day what's going on and tells people who the roadblocks are, you know, and who the people are who are getting in the way of their prosperity, their freedom, you know, their ability to have a hopeful future, then I think you're going to see change. And it's sure, it's going to be hard. You know, it's not going to be just winning the election. It's going to be having a president who's going to fight, who's a real fighter, and who's not going to quit till he sees this change.
From where I'm sitting, he's setting up even just going in to office. He's setting up a fight with the Democratic Party itself. Their refusal to have open debates, their refusal to even basically acknowledge his candidacy. Now, you have venues like Joe Rogan, and you can get your message out. This is a good thing today. And, you know, you said that. But does this hurt or enhance his candidacy during the 2024 cycle?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, what you're going to see with Bobby Kennedy is that he is up for this challenge, and that the American people, you know, even if you look at polls, you know, while they're being fooled, more and more they're recognizing that their lives are getting worse and that their government isn't doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. And so I think that, you know, that you are going to see people just unwilling to accept that. And you're going to see them demanding that their politicians start being honest to them. So if you really have an honest president, you know, even something as simple as president after president saying that they're going to disclose all of the documents that have to do with the JFK assassination. And you look at that and they keep promising to do it, but nobody does it. So each time, for whatever reason, you see that they back down. And, you know, if they're backing down to powerful government agencies, you know, that's pretty shocking that we haven't had a single president with the guts to tell the truth to the American public. I mean, it's 6 decades after the assassination of JFK. You know, can't we know the truth about what happened? You know, there's still thousands of documents that haven't been disclosed. And, you know, if there's one thing that you can be 100% sure of, Bobby Kennedy is going to disclose those documents, and we're going to know once and for all what is contained in those documents. And we're going to get a sense of why they've been hidden from us for all of these years. So I think that even something like that, you know, will start to restore trust in our government, that we have somebody who's going to come out and tell us the truth about the important things and, you know, really try to work towards solving problems and try to unite, you know, Congress people on the left and right, to try to unite the people in all different parts of this country who have just totally different views right now of what the truth is, of what the proper direction for the future is. But I think that that's, you know, not necessary, that it's possible, you know, that there are more things that unite us. And I think Bobby Kennedy says that time after time, that there are more things that unite us than that separate us. And if we have a president who focuses on those things, you know, people just want basic things, you know. So the fact that the price of groceries has been skyrocketing, and that the government isn't doing anything about it, that a Democratic president who runs on, you know, increasing services to poor people and the middle class, then, you know, in a short span of time is actually cutting benefits and is having a situation where inflation is rampant, where, you know, the inflation of basic things that people need, whether it's food or, you know, access to medical products, or, you know, any of the things that they really need, those prices are just skyrocketing. And, you know, for a Democratic president to be doing that and not even discussing it, not even getting on television and describing to the American people what his plans are to make their lives better is, you know, is something that ought to shock people. And I can tell you that Bobby Kennedy would do that right away. He would recognize that those are the things that are really important to people, that they want, like I said before, they want reasonable prices for basic things that they need. They want an end to this rampant inflation. They want an end to the corruption that's leading to just incredible government waste, whether it's in this country or all around the world fighting these endless wars. They want to bring the soldiers home, and they want to bring our focus back to rebuilding this country and making it a place that works for the American people, that we can be proud of, and that we can become one America with, you know, basic shared values. And even if we disagree on some fundamental things, I think that what you see with a president like Bobby Kennedy is somebody who's willing to have that dialogue and willing to discuss anything with anyone and to create a government that is not excluding people.
Now, we've got a situation. If we look at 2016, the American electorate was introduced to a new concept called a superdelegate. If Joe Biden brings that out again, I'm still not sure I understand the idea. One delegate is worth 100 delegates, but no one knew about them until Hillary Clinton might lose the primary or some such. How difficult will the primary be if they start these shenanigans again? Is there a way to cut this in the bud before we get started? How does this work?
You know, clearly this is going to be really tough, because clearly what's going on is that the Democratic Party has become absolutely corrupt, and they're going to just use every tactic to try to thwart democracy, that they don't want democracy. They don't want the American people to get real information about their candidates because they're afraid of what people might choose. So when you see the attacks on Bobby Kennedy in just the last few weeks, you know, you see the desperation. You see that they recognize that their candidate, that Joe Biden, can't actually inspire people. He can't actually debate Bobby Kennedy. He can't make arguments that would win in the marketplace of ideas. So they have to then use propaganda, you know, targeted propaganda and censorship to try to control Bobby Kennedy's message, to fool people into believing that he's somebody different than who he actually is. So what he actually is an incredibly smart, incredibly honest, to protect the people of this country. And then they come out with stories that he's an anti-Semite, for example, and they get 100 members of Congress to sign a document trying to censor him at a censorship hearing. So, you know, those kinds of desperate tactics. I mean, there is not a shred of truth to the false claim that he's an anti-Semite. And anybody who knows him, anybody who's worked with him over many years, and I'm one of those people, so I've known him for more than 12 years. And I can tell you that is just targeted propaganda. So they are using every bit of power they have to fool the American public, just like they did with Bernie Sanders. And, you know, Bernie Sanders voters didn't reward them for that. And now you have Bernie Sanders voters who are still out there, and you have Bobby Kennedy voters who are very passionate and who believe Bobby Kennedy. And they're not, this is not 2 million people or 5 million people. This is, you know, 25, 30, 35 million people. So if the Democratic Party continues to act in these dishonest ways, in these fundamentally corrupt ways, they're going to see that come back to bite them, and they're going to lose the election. And, you know, if Bobby Kennedy is the candidate for the Democratic Party, he will win the election. So they're going to have to wrap their heads around that idea, that they can continue their corrupt policies they can continue this targeted propaganda, this incredible censorship that takes all these different forms, or they can embrace a candidate that the American people will come to love when they hear the true story of who Bobby Kennedy is. They will come to love him, they will vote for him, they will benefit from his presidency, and he will beat Donald Trump.
I wanted to ask one more question. I realize you're short on time. I was actually surprised because, you know, I knew that he was in environmental law. He was an active attorney. I didn't realize that he actually has a long history with foreign policy. I thought that would be his weak point. But, I mean, it goes back to, I think, 1974 when he first started writing about this. Can you outline really quick what some of his foreign policy positions are on a country-by-country basis?
Yeah, so that's a little complicated to do in the short time that we have. But I can tell you that, you know, he recognizes that we as a country have gotten involved in all of these wars, whether it's in Ukraine or in Iraq or in Afghanistan, without any clear vision of what we want the outcome to be. So, you know, we are getting in these wars to support the military-industrial complex, you know, not to get specific things done, not to really fight terrorism, for example, you know, not to really help freedom in these countries, not to defend the rights of people in these countries, but to make more weapons, to get more power, to extract money, whether it's for oil or for other natural resources, and that ultimately these kinds of policies fail, that they're not good for the planet, they're not good for people in those countries. I mean, if you care about the environment, you shouldn't want us, you know, as a country, bombing other countries. I mean, what could be worse for the environment than using modern weapons to bomb other countries? You know, so, and then, you know, all of the jet fuel in the bombing of Iraq, of Syria, of Afghanistan, you know, all of these wars and all of these resources going into these wars is draining money from the American public, is draining resources from the planet, is, you know, a crushing blow to the environment. So the only people benefiting are the manufacturers of these weapons and are the government officials who are, you know, closely tied to the manufacturers of these weapons. So when you think of foreign policy, you have to think of why we're getting involved in all of these things and what the benefit to anybody is. So I think that, you know, Bobby Kennedy has been a student of it. And when I look at his views on Ukraine, they're so much better researched than any other politician that I hear who's talking about these issues. And they're so nuanced that he, you know, believes that the invasion is a bad thing, of course. He believes that Ukrainians getting killed is a terrible thing and that we should be protecting against that. But that the best way to protect that is that if you really care about Ukrainian lives, and if you really care about the environment, and if you really care about the American public and the Ukrainian people and the people all around Europe who are suffering because of it, then you want to have solutions and you want to be willing to negotiate. And Bobby Kennedy has always been good at negotiating through all of his years as a lawyer fighting these gigantic corporations and government agencies. He has learned how to negotiate well, and he will do that as president, and he will make deals in complicated situations, just like his uncle did. And, you know, that's what diplomacy is. That's what governing really is. It's not trying to just destroy other countries. It's not trying to just, you know, fool people into doing the things that you want them to by censoring them by propaganda. It's by trying to come up with practical solutions that benefit everybody. And so that, I think, is what Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s foreign policy would be centered on, that he would try to find common ground with countries all around the world so that we no longer had these senseless and endless wars.
We've had Tony Lyons. He's the co-chair and co-founder of American Values 2024 and the publisher of Skyhorse Books. Now, we can find you and they can support the Kennedy campaign at AmericanValues2024.org. Where else can people find you, Tony?
They can find me personally at SkyhorsePublishing.com. Or they can find me on Instagram at Tony Lyons is uncertain. And the reason that I picked that is that I think that we always need dialogue and debate. And we always need the ability, you know, to see things from multiple sides so that we can make the best decisions. And so part of the way to do that is to fight censorship and propaganda, because it's censorship and propaganda that make it impossible for people to make good decisions, either on who to choose as a politician or what to, you know, do in their personal lives, what to put into their bodies, you know, what to believe. So it's so important that we have real debate. And we need Bobby Kennedy to debate Biden. We need Bobby Kennedy to debate Donald Trump. And we need the American people and people all around the world to have a sense of who these people are, what they believe, not just the propaganda that their teams put out, but, you know, real answers. And we need to see what they would do, what each of these candidates would do to make people's lives better.
And I agree with you 100% on that. This is Tony Lyons, folks, and I hope to have you back soon, Tony. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on.
And we're going to take a quick break and come back with more on War of the Worlds. We'll see you in a minute.
Rick Munn on TNT Radio.
I noticed some figures came out over the weekend to do with the population of Ukraine by 2050. They reckon it will have decreased by at least 25%. And they're talking about the need for migration to replace or bolster those failing birth numbers, and obviously the fact that the aging population are dying off quickly. So you've got people not having kids on one end, and you've got all the young men being thrown to the Russians on the eastern part of the country, and any other young men that seem to be viable are all leaving to come to the UK or Ireland. You've got yourself a recipe for disaster, and of course an excuse to flood the country with more migrants to replace the people that are leaving as migrants. So what a mess.
Rick Munn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk TNT Radio.
Tom has been a teacher for over 40 years. One day, I think one of the students had asked the question and he didn't remember the answer. And I also noticed that he was letting his class out earlier than they were supposed to let out. I was really starting to worry.
Levi and I talked about how it would change our lives, but he was there beside me.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Emergency.
Hi, I think my husband might need an ambulance.
Joe, I'm fine.
Can you tell me what happened?
Well, this morning his chest was aching. Now it's spread to his back and jaw.
Joe, it's nothing.
He sounds short of breath. Is he sweating?
Yes.
An ambulance is on its way. He may be having a heart attack.
A heart attack is not always as dramatic as you think. If you or someone else experience these symptoms, call 111 immediately. The longer you wait, the more permanent damage to your heart. Go to heartfoundation.org.nz to learn more.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. This is War of the Worlds on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
All right, now we're back, and we're going to pick up and talk about what's going on in the Ukrainian war. And you hear all these things, you see all these things in the news. Ukraine has a porcupine strategy. And quite frankly, I can't even figure out the headline on that one. I mean, what is it? They're what? Ducking down and hoping nothing will hit them, which is pretty much the way things are happening. Ukraine is still using mosquito attacks. They're doing drone attacks, and none of this is working. The death tolls for the Ukrainian army has just mounted so much. In Odessa, there was a news report of, and this is going on across Ukraine, it shows the desperation of the Ukrainian military. They grabbed a man that was very epileptic and mentally challenged. He wasn't capable of going in combat. He had a lot of health problems, couldn't even stand straight or walk straight. They grab him off the street, out of his house, rather, over the protests of his mother. He's an invalid, he has to live at home. They grab him anyway. And they go to take him to the front, and he dies. His health was so bad, he died on the way there. Ukraine is grabbing everybody it can muster off the streets. Doesn't matter, young or old, too young. Ukraine has had 14-year-olds in the conflict this entire time. It doesn't matter. What should have mattered was saving these lives and stopping the slaughter. And how do we do that? How about it starts with a wake-up to reality call? If we go back to February, March, April 2022, it started out with Russia blitzing. And Russia was in East and West Ukraine. And everybody was talking about, well, this is going to be 5 days. The West and Ukraine called for a peace summit, and they had it. There was a peace agreement on the table. Ukraine never pushed Russia out of West Ukraine. It didn't happen that way. They had a peace agreement. Part of it was Russia leaving that region. They did. And then the war was back on again. The agreement was broken right away. And so they settled down into this conflict. Now, as you notice, Russia hasn't had a lot of interest up till now pressing forward very far. And they're allowing the Ukrainian offense to just break on them. That's why there's so many deaths on the Ukrainian side. The defense is just that strong. Russia came into the conflict with about 90,000 troops. And you don't attack on a 1-7 if you plan on, difference if you're planning on taking over the country. It was never what it was about. And Ukraine and the West have turned it into that. The Ukrainian people are not bad, evil people. And listen, you're listening to the single guy that brought the term Bandera into popularity in the West. I was singly the first journalist talking about Nazis in Kiev. And at the time, this is going back to 2014, I was getting all these calls from Jewish academics. What are you talking about? And here we are. See, that this isn't Ukraine. Isn't the Ukrainian people. And what's going on is nothing more than a genocide of the Ukrainian people with corporate sponsors on it. Ukraine is farmland. Well, they don't want small farms anymore or smallish farms. They want corporate farms, and you don't need the people for that. So this war is a great way to get rid of it. This is unacceptable, and it's always been unacceptable. What the government in Kiev has been trying to do to the people in Donbas for the last 9 years has been unacceptable, but nobody would listen. Well, they would only listen a few minutes at a time. Do you know twice funding from the U.S. government for the Azov Battalion in Ukraine was cut off, and I was part of it. Twice Congress got censored. And now they're celebrated. They're in the U.S. I think they have their own clothing line at this point. When we look at this whole talk about a grain deal, you know, the ability to ship grain, it is the West that's actually blocking this right now. All that grain can go overland. It didn't have to be that way. Ukraine could have maintained the ports, but they chose to attack Russia from the shipping lanes that were agreed upon would be neutral, just for shipping. Ukraine started attacking ships from there. Well, what should Russia do? Well, he broke that deal. How many of these agreements can Ukraine break? Why doesn't Europe want Ukraine's grain? Because it's so cheap, their farmers won't be able to sell theirs. That's what's going on. You can't stop the grain from going out. You can add to the cost a little bit. And that's all that's happened. That's what's happened. Cheap shipping is gone. But the simple fact that all that grain that is needed for the world so the world doesn't starve, the world doesn't want anymore. And these governments that are backed and behind the war want the people of the world to suffer, so they'll be angry. I mean, if the cost of bread goes up 5 times what it costs now, it's going to make you angry. And all they have to do is point and say Putin did it, and Russia's back on the hook for that one. When we look at the so-called peace summits and all this, the only reason the U.S. was behind that was so Ukraine could try to air out its laundry and try to suck up to countries in the global south and get them on board with trying to put pressure on Russia. There's nothing there about peace at all. It had nothing to do with anything. And what the West is advising Ukraine to do is a shit ton of terrorist attacks against Russia. And while you're in a war, what's a terrorist attack look like? Same thing they're doing in the cities of Donetsk, Lugansk, all the big cities. They use these super weapons that, you know, America and Europe is sending against cities, against civilians. And they're pushing for Ukraine to do as many of these as they can to put Russia in the Russian leadership in a political position where they say, ow, and it gives Ukraine a way to step up and actually have something to negotiate with. And you know, this isn't going to work well. Every time Ukraine does one of these attacks on civilian structures, which Russia has been trying to avoid, that the response has been breathtaking. The ports are gone because of that. And that's the reality of what's going on in Ukraine. That's the reality of how this is going to progress. Now, the Ukrainians there are some in leadership that want this to go to a partisan war. They're waiting for the army to collapse so they can do this as terrorist cells, just like their great granddaddies did. Do Western countries really want to be part of that? I mean, can you imagine the down and dirty where you're teaching seven-year-olds how to make bombs? This is the milk these people grew up drinking, these stories. Their great grandparents did this. And they want their children to do it too. Do we want that? See, after they're done in Ukraine, they're already in America, and they're moving to America again into the UK, Germany. I'm George Elias, and this is War of the Worlds on TNT. Thank you.